Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Have you ever wondered what American Muslims are thinking, how they situate themselves in American society? What do they think about radical Islam or about the almost daily attacks that Americans and others suffer under radical Islam, suicide bombers, and the like? Well, there's a new survey out on the attitudes of Muslim Americans. Joining us to talk about it is Greg Smith of the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. In just a few minutes after we conclude our conversation with Greg, we'll be talking with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch, getting his take on the same findings of the same survey. Greg Smith is senior researcher for Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, based in Washington, D.C. Greg, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's nice to be with you.
First of all, it's a kind of the perennial question. How many Muslim Americans are we talking about?
Well, our estimate is that there are about 1.8 million Muslim adults living in the United States. And if you add to that children, you get a total figure of 2.75 million Muslims of all ages in the United States. That is an increase of about 400,000 people since 2007 when we last did this survey, and it's about what you'd expect given what we know about fertility, immigration, and other factors that go into determining the size of a population.
What did you discover regarding attitudes or concerns about Islamic terrorism among Muslim Americans?
Well, there's a couple things to point out. You know, first of all, is that there's very little support for extremism within the Muslim American community. Big majorities, more than 8 in 10, say that suicide bombing, for example, in defense of Islam is never justifiable. 7 in 10 say that they have very unfavorable views of Al-Qaeda. And these figures are very consistent with what we found 4 years ago. So despite the attention paid and discussion of extremism and terrorism, including the potential for homegrown terrorism, the survey actually uncovers very little evidence of a significant degree of extremism within the Muslim community. With that said, however, the survey also shows that the potential for the rise of Islamic extremism in the United States is something that most Muslims say they're concerned about. 6 in 10 say they're concerned about that potential. We also find that though most Muslims say that there is little or no support for extremism within the Muslim community, there is a significant minority, about 1 in 5, who say that there's a good deal or at least a fair amount of support for extremism within the community. So on the one hand, we uncover very little actual support for extremism. On the other hand, we do see these indicators that this remains a concern for the community.
What did you discover regarding how Muslims perceive prejudice, suspicion in the general society against them?
Well, the survey has several questions that I think shed some light on what it's like to be a Muslim in the United States. I guess the number one thing I would point to is that most Muslims, a little more than half, tell us that it's become more difficult to be a Muslim in the United States since September 11th. It's presented greater challenges. We also see this if we look at a series of kind of specific negative experiences that some people have had. We find a little bit more than a quarter of Muslims saying that they have been treated with suspicion because of their religion just in the past year. We find about 1 in 5 saying that they have been called offensive names. And 6% say that they've actually been physically threatened or attacked. Many Muslims also say that they've been singled out by airport security or by other sources of law enforcement. If you add it all together, you get about 4 in 10 Muslims who've experienced one of these negative things just in the past year. At the same time, I should also point out, though, that almost as many tell us that they've had people reach out to them and offer support because of their religion as well. So this is something that we do see cuts both ways. There's good and there's bad.
As to self-identification, where does it weigh? I guess the simplest way to answer the question is, do Muslim Americans regard themselves as Muslim Americans or American Muslims?
Well, the survey asked exactly that question. Do you think of yourself first as an American or first as a Muslim? And what we find is that about half of Muslim Americans say they think of themselves first as Muslim, compared with about a quarter who think of themselves first as an American. The survey shows, analysis of the data shows, that this question is really as much an indicator of religious commitment as it is of patriotism to the United States. The more highly engaged in their religion respondents were, the more likely they were to say that they think of themselves first as Muslims. I should also point out, just by way of context, that Muslim Americans on this question don't look too unlike American Christians, among whom half say that they think of themselves first as Christian, with the other half saying they think of themselves first as Americans.
When we talk about the demographics of the Muslim American population, in particular, how long they are from immigrant ancestors, so to speak, what did you discover?
Well, the first thing to realize about the Muslim American community in the United States is that it's made up mostly of immigrants. About two-thirds of Muslims were born in countries other than the United States. And the sheer number and variety of countries from which they hail is really astonishing. We have 77 different countries represented just in our survey. And there's no single country that accounts for more than 1 in 6 Muslim immigrants. So most Muslims are immigrants. Among those who were born in the United States, you have a fair number, about 15% of all Muslims, who are second generation, which means they're the children of immigrants. And then about 1 in 5 Muslims have families who have been in the United States for 3 or more generations. A large percentage of this group, the folks whose families have been here for 3 or more generations, consists of African-American converts to Islam.
What did you discover when it comes to the Muslim Americans' view of Muslim leaders in the United States?
Well, you know, you've touched on a question that I think is among the most interesting in the entire survey, and I'd put it in the context of another question that we asked. We asked a couple of questions about how the Muslim community and Muslim leaders are responding to extremism. And these are separate questions that took place in different parts of the interview. But one of the questions we asked was, to what extent, or do you think that the Muslim community is doing enough to cooperate with law enforcement investigating possible extremism? And there we see a clear consensus, with most Muslims telling us absolutely the Muslim community is doing all that it should to cooperate with law enforcement. Two-thirds take that point of view. We also asked a separate question, and a little bit different question, but I think it's an interesting contrast. We said, do you think that Muslim leaders in the United States have done enough to speak out against Islamic extremism, or haven't they done enough? And here we found only about 1 in 3 saying that Muslim leaders in the United States have done enough to speak out against extremism. So the Muslims that we talk to are twice as likely to say the Muslim community is doing what it should to cooperate with law enforcement as they are to say that Muslim leaders have done enough to speak out against extremism.
What has changed the most among American Muslims when surveyed from previous surveys of this kind?
I'd say the biggest change that we've seen since 2007, when we first did this survey, can be seen in Muslims' views about how things are going in the country. You know, the new survey, like the first survey in 2007, confirms that Muslims are primarily a group composed of people who are happy with their own lives, satisfied with their communities as places to live, and are quite well integrated and assimilated into American society. One place where we've seen a big change is that there's been a large increase in the number of Muslims who say that they're satisfied with the direction of the country. In 2007, only about 1 in 3 took that point of view. Today, it's a majority who says that they're satisfied with the direction of the country. And that's an interesting contrast to the public as a whole, who has actually become less satisfied with the country's direction over the same period of time. And we think that this increased optimism or increased satisfaction with the country's direction among Muslims is due in part to increased satisfaction with the political climate. Muslims mostly look quite fondly upon Barack Obama and upon the Democratic Party, and we think that that satisfaction with the change in administration might be reflected in more positive views of the country's direction.
Does it have something to do with shifts among Muslim Americans on how they regard U.S. efforts, formal efforts on the U.S. part to combat global terrorism?
It may. You know, that you've highlighted another important question on which we've also seen a significant change, and that is on the question of whether or not U.S. efforts to combat terrorism constitute a sincere effort to actually reduce terrorism. There's been a big increase in the number of Muslims who say that these U.S. efforts are sincere compared with 2007.
Greg Smith is senior researcher for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life based in Washington, D.C. You will find a link to the Pew Forum's new report, Muslim Americans, No Sign of Growth in Alienation or Support for Extremism, under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Greg, as usual, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
When we come back, Robert Spencer is going to join us. We're going to talk about these results of this survey, get his take on it. He's director of Jihad Watch and author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. So we'll analyze some of the findings of this new survey on the attitudes of American Muslims on the other side of this break. We are coming to you on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 30th. Robert Spencer with his take on what Muslim Americans think right after this.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384. 323-8384.